Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Here's a little behind the scenes, what they often call inside baseball commentary. And that is, the way I come up with podcast topics is very random. Stuff just pops into my head and I think, you know, that'd be interesting. I haven't talked about that before. Or have I? And sometimes I have to go back and look at what I've previously podcast, particularly now that I've done 1,466 podcasts. And that's what happened this week. I thought, here's a good title for a podcast, 5 Things I Wish I'd Learned Earlier. So I jotted that down. That'll be a good topic because I had 5 things that had occurred to me that would have changed my life significantly if I had learned them earlier in my photographic career. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, I think I've already used this title, or I've already talked about this. So I went back and did a search, and sure enough, I have 2 other podcasts that have similar titles and a similar theme, but both discuss different aspects. So today, I'm going to talk about 5 things I wish I'd learned earlier. But in podcast number 1,439, I talked about things I wish I'd learned in my youth, which sounds like it'd be the same thing as I'm going to talk about today, but it's not quite, but it's related, so I'm putting a link to it. That was posted in February of 2025, so not that long ago. But then, in January of 2023, I also did a podcast called Things I Wish I'd Learned Sooner. And again, both of those are interesting podcasts, but neither of them cover the topics that I'm going to talk about today. But nonetheless, related. So I'm kind of considering this a triplet, and I think they all reinforce each other with some slightly different points. And I know it's asking a lot, but I think it's worthwhile listening to all 3 of them. So let me start with today's 5 things I wish I'd learned earlier. The premise for this is what I actually learned in my youth, which is f-stops and shutter speeds and film formats and lenses and focal lengths and depth of field and D76 and hypoclearing agent and all the stuff you had to have to make a print. And I thought that's what learning photography was. But I realize now that that was just the technical aspects, and the technical aspects don't make great photographs. As Ansel Adams so famously said, nothing worse than a sharp picture of a fuzzy concept. Along those lines, the first thing I wish I'd learned earlier was that memorable images touch the heart, not just the eye. I think back about the images from other photographers, from famous master photographers, that I carry around in my mental gallery. All of them are tour de force technical accomplishments, true. So they touch my eye, and I think, wow, what lovely tones and beautiful depth of field and all that stuff. But what makes them memorable, the reason I carry them in my mental gallery, is because they touched my heart. Because I looked at them and thought, wow, that is a tremendous insight. Those images teach me something. Those images challenge me. Because those photographers understood so well that technical excellence is only the first step in creating something that's a meaningful piece of photographic artwork. That it's content that really counts. But properly done, content needs to be expressed in proper craft. The two go related. They're hand in hand. But in my youth, all I concentrated on was just the technical parts because that was so difficult. I just couldn't make a good print. And so even if I had something that was meaningful to say, I couldn't accomplish that because I couldn't make it come off in the print. So that's where all my effort and energy was put. And I think that's true for lots of photographers. Certainly true for us a second time around in my generation when we had to learn all about digital photography and Photoshop was a complete unknown and computers were a little scary and Lightroom hadn't even been invented. Making a good digital print was, again, a technological challenge. But memorable images touch the heart, not just the eye. And so the advice I always want to give young photographers now is learn the craft, but learn it as quickly as you can and recognize that it is a subservient skill set compared to developing your sensitivity, developing your eye, developing your humanity, your compassion, because those are the qualities that will help you make photographs that touch not only other people's heart, but your heart as the creator. That's what we're really searching for. Moving on to the second of the five things I wish I'd learned earlier. I wish I'd learned that visual literacy is just as important as technical competence. I had very scant teaching about the history of photography, and no teaching in my photography classes about the history of art. And I look back at that now and think, that was a terrible mistake. There is a school of thought that says we should avoid looking at other people's artwork. Cole Thompson often talks about what he calls visual celibacy. And he goes out of his way to not look at a lot of other photographers' art. I disagree with that, not only because there's a lot to learn, but because it denies the fact that art is a giant conversation that's taking place through generations and into the future. Art is a part of culture, and culture means us as a group, together, talking about, thinking about, realizing things, sharing the commonalities of what we experience as a society. I've told the story before of the time I was doing a portfolio review with a young woman who had recently graduated with an MFA in photography. She's got a master's of fine art. And when she showed me her work in the review session, I said, intending it to be a compliment, I said, "This work reminds me a lot of the work of Edward Weston." And she said, "Who's Edward Weston?" I was shocked. How can you get an MFA in photography and not know who Edward Weston is? I didn't ask her if she'd ever heard of Hieronymus Bosch or Caravaggio, but I would doubt she had. How can we deny that there have been lots of brilliant photographers, painters, poets, musicians who have come before us that we can learn from, that we can take inspiration from? It's not uncommon for me to be working in Lightroom here at the studio and have Beethoven playing in the background. It's inspiring. So it's not just visual literacy that's as important as technical competence, but it's artistic literacy, cultural literacy, and as far as that goes, all the other media that creative types have used throughout history to express their response to the world. That's what we're doing, is communicating our response to the world. And as such, we are part of the long history of people who have had the sensitivity to think artistically and communicatively. It's one of the reasons I'm such a fan of the history of photography books, even beyond the Beaumont Newhall classic. There are lots of others that are much more complete and much more engaging. And not just the history of photography, but, for example, Richard Benson's The Printed Picture is an incredibly important book for us photographers. Or Nathan Lyon's Photographers on Photography, which isn't about images, but it is about the philosophical foundation written in articles and essays by the greatest photographic masters of the 20th century. I wish someone had told me in my youth that visual literacy and art history is just as important as technical competence. And I wish I had spent even 10%, 20% more time studying the history of art and a little less time exploring exotic developers and obscure toning techniques. Okay, number three. This is a simple one, and I can express it succinctly by saying there are many paths to the top of the mountain. I wasn't taught that in my youth. I was taught there was one path, that is to say, gelatin silver production, and that medium expressed almost exclusively in matted framed prints on the wall. Certainly a good method, great method, a method I use to this day to show my photographs. But I wish someone had told me that there are many paths to the top of the mountain and that there can be things like handmade artist books or chapbooks or, when the technology had matured enough, PDFs. I wish I'd spent more time studying things like The Pencil of Nature or the Ansel Adams portfolios or the Brett Weston portfolios, which, to be honest, I've still never seen in real life, even after all these years, but I treasure the Ansel Adams portfolios book that taught me the idea about groups of photographs working together to say something greater than the sum of the parts. I wish I'd spent more time studying Life magazine and Eugene Smith's work, because he always thought in terms of groups. But that's not what I ever saw in galleries or in formal presentations of photography. Photography is a very plastic medium. It can be used to do so many different things. I wish I'd learned that in my youth, instead of having to forge my way through it and create things like folios and chapbooks for my own work, feeling somewhat guilty about the fact that I wasn't doing what everybody else was doing and wondering if I was wasting my time. I have a lot of photography friends who explored things like gum bichromate printing and platinum palladium printing. I wish I'd had that experimental bent in me, but in my youth, I was taught there was a way to do things, and it was sort of a one and only way to do things. Maybe that's just the teacher that I had. Maybe that's just the prejudice that I had towards a certain kind of photography or the books that I happened to read. But I wish someone had said, nah, photography is a lot more flexible, a lot more pliable. There's a lot more things you could do with photography than the one thing I thought was photography, which was gelatin silver landscapes. I love that work. I love all the photographers who have done that kind of work. But the mistake I made in my youth was I assumed that was the only kind of work that I wanted to do, because I was too narrow-minded to go exploring more extensively. Number four. This is one of those little lessons that, again, I wish I had learned so much earlier and was right in front of me all the time, but I didn't really see it until I'd been in photography a couple of decades, maybe even 3 decades, and then it occurred to me that the true heart of photography is not the image, but rather the moment of recognition. And in retrospect, it seems particularly silly that I didn't discover this, because there's a great Edward Weston book published by Aperture called The Flame of Recognition. It's all about that moment when we see something as photographic potential, when something bubbles up from our unconscious, when the world presents us with a vision or an idea, when a veil is lifted and we go, aha, it's the aha moment that's been talked about in art since forever. It's what Basho was trying to get at with haiku. It's the Goldberg variations. It's Caravaggio and his foreshortened perspective. It's Rembrandt lighting. It's Vermeer's realism. It's why, if photography had never been invented, I would bet that most of us would have found a different kind of medium to express ourselves, because it's the moment of recognition that propels the artwork. It comes first. The artwork comes later. So that moment of recognition is the true heart of photography. It's what we should be spending most of our time doing and thinking about and searching for. Not the photogenic thing, but the moment we recognize it as a photographic possibility. Which leads directly into the fifth thing I wish I'd learned, and that's this, that any thing can be a subject. Any thing. Just look back through the issues of Lenswork and you'll be amazed how many everyday things have turned into beautiful, wonderful projects in the hand of a creative eye. Similarly, Any event can be a story, and it doesn't have to be a big event. Just like anything doesn't have to be a big thing. You don't have to run off to Yosemite or Nepal or somewhere. Anything can be a subject, and any event can be a story. It could be as simple as baking cookies with a grandchild or harvesting tulips from the backyard. That's one of the things that I think we all learned from Eugene Smith, is that even little things, even everyday moments, have drama in them if we're sensitive enough to see it. But interestingly enough, if anything can be a subject and any event can be a story, that's all well and good. But there is only one time frame in which we can make photographs, and that's the eternal now. That's where we have to be in order to make pictures. And I've learned that the hard way. When I'm out in the field and I'm thinking about the future or I'm thinking about the past, I'm not seeing photographs. Because in order to really see photographs, you have to be where photographs are, which is in the present. It's the only place we can be, because philosophically, it's the only place that actually is. All of our thoughts about the future are happening in the present. All of our remembrances of the past are happening in the present. Even if we're photographing nostalgia or ancient geological wonders, we're photographing them in the eternal now. And the great lesson there is, we don't need to go searching for photographs. They're in front of us. Because anything and any event can be photographed in the now, assuming we can cultivate the sensitivity to recognize that now is the only time we can photograph whatever the subject or the story might be. So, those are five things I wish I had learned earlier. Memorable images touch the heart, not just the eye. Visual literacy is just as important as technical competence. There are many paths to the top of the mountain. The true heart of photography is not the image, but rather the moment of recognition. And anything can be a subject, any event can be a story, but only in the eternal now can we make pictures. Those are my thoughts, my wishes, some things I wish I'd learned in the earliest phases of my photographic life that hopefully will be useful for you.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.